I'm going to try to make it through the three steps to obtaining spiritual truth. Before I get started, I want to interject that we're actually talking about prayer. And without prayer, there is no obtaining in the true sense of the kingdom. There is no obtaining truth. The goal, the key, the goal, your destiny, is to become one with truth. If all you're wanting is, you know, truth that will puff up your mind, giving you a sense of intellectual superiority, well, that's different. You don't have to do much for that. Just pick up the right book, and it will tell you what you want to know. But if you want to obtain truth and actually make it your own, more than make it your own, I don't know how else to say it, but the call of the bride is to become truth. That is what God is calling us to, is to become truth. Someone might say, ooh, that sounds awfully hard. Sounds awfully difficult. To become truth? Well, it's impossible. It is impossible. Except for God. And in Him, all things are possible. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John 16. John 16, verse 13. I'm going to speak to you today. We'll get as far through these three points as we can. I'm going to speak to you today. I'm going to speak some directives to you today. But I fully understand, and I want you to also, that I can't teach you what you need to know about this. But when He, the Spirit of Truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, He will guide you into all truth, the whole, full truth. Who teaches you truth? When we allow, it's more than allow. We must seek it with a zeal. We must develop a divine jealousy for truth. And in our seeking, position ourselves to allow the Spirit of Truth to teach us. We all make a willful choice, don't we? Who is going to teach us and who isn't? People will say to me, I will learn anything you teach me because I want to walk with God the way you do. And then you offer them something that corrects their behavior. And what do? They don't like it. People don't want to be corrected. They don't understand that that is one of the most important parts of walking with Christ. When you are not correctable by man, guess what? Neither are you correctable by God. And that's just the way we are. Whatever is our response, the way we respond to people is our response to God. If when we are corrected, we get offended, we get indignant, we begin to justify ourselves, we don't realize every time we do that, we are putting up walls against the truth God is trying to give us. But even more so, we're putting those walls up against the Spirit of truth that is trying to teach us. Being teachable is a top priority. That is so important. I would say to you tonight to fast and pray that God will give you a teachable heart. If what someone is trying to teach you is not of God, and your heart is teachable, you will know immediately, because the Spirit of truth will speak to you over the words of the instructor. So you don't have to fear learning the wrong things. I can remember years ago, sitting in Australia, in front of two very, very spiritual men, and they were sharing some of their spiritual experiences. And I said, you know, I had an experience like that just recently, and I shut it down. And one of the gentlemen said, why would you do that? And I said, well, because in my country, that's not allowed. You're taught throughout the church that kind of thing is not acceptable. That it's against Scripture. And the one said, well, what does the Bible say about that? And I said, well, you know, the Bible seems to indicate God will grant experiences like that. And we're not to fear it. But the teaching in my country against it is so strong that it frightened me and I shut it down. So the one that was doing all the talking said, if you want to go, if you want to have greater experiences in the Spirit, you must allow God to fulfill His Word. So I set aside my fears, and I said to the Lord, this is in Your Word. And I opened my heart to it. Within hours, He restored what I had shut down. And the experiences that I've had in that dimension since have been wonderful. Wonderful. And it always aligns with the Word. But I had to be willing to be teachable, to expand in God. When the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, He will guide you into all, I love that, into how much of the truth? I'm sorry? Into all truth. How much is all? Ooh, think about it. I mean, how can you give an answer? Who has plumbed the depth of truth? Who has traveled the width and the breadth and the height of truth? We have difficulty getting up to the top of Mount Everest. and we're going to reach the top of truth? There is a reason why we need eternity. Eternity, which never ends, cannot give time enough to learn all truth. Isn't that exciting? I'm telling you, the Lord really likes what we're talking about tonight, because He keeps flooding over me. For He will not speak His own message on His own authority, but He will tell whatever He hears from who? The Father. He will give the message that has been given to Him, and He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me because He will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine and will reveal and declare, disclose and transmit it to you. How do we gain what the Spirit of Truth wants to give? Do we always have to go and sit at the feet of a teacher? A teacher can give you intellectual understanding, but truth comes only by the Spirit. I can speak, but it is the Spirit that must impact you, that must impart the truth to you, and must teach you the truth according to your ability to receive it. If this is true, then there must be a relationship that must be established between you and the Spirit of Truth. If the Spirit of Truth, or the Holy Spirit, must teach you all truth, then you must have a relationship with Him to recognize truth. You know, if you are, how can I put this without offending anyone? You can be in one denomination in the church, and you're going to believe that water baptism for infants is the way to do it. You love Jesus, you're born again. You love the Bible. You love to go and be taught. You read the Christian books. But you've been taught that water baptism is all right and acceptable and really is the way to do it for a baby. So you don't have to wait until you understand what the water baptism is all about. You can be in another denomination, and they will stand up with great abhorrence against that. You cannot be water baptized in the name. Oops, now there's another thing. Which name are we baptized in? Is it the name of Jesus, or is it the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Depends upon which denomination you're in. You say, no, it depends upon the Bible. And the Bible, it depends upon which denomination you're in. Some denominations would never accept that a Christian can pray in the language of the Spirit of God. And they would all but tar and feather you for saying that you can. While other denominations think you're not really a Christian if you don't have it all. Right. Some denominations will teach and preach and they'll fight and they'll war against the gifts of the Spirit. I can remember hearing one minister talk about on his television program many, many years ago, how he was one of those. He was a Baptist, and he just didn't believe in tongues, and he didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And one day, he's in his pulpit, and he is preaching against tongues. And just like that, his voice was lost. I am serious. He lost his voice. I don't remember now, because it was many years ago when I heard this story, but he lost his voice for a long time. So one Sunday, he gets up, and he's thinking he's going to have to, you know, do another sermon like this. And once again, he's trying to make an impact that the gift of tongues is not for the church. When, as he is teaching on this subject, suddenly his voice is released and he is not speaking in English. Yes, I'm telling you the truth. He started speaking in tongues. So then he had to get saved. I'm funning with you. He was saved. He just didn't have the gift. But when he got it, now, can he tell his whole congregation there is no such thing? God is so smart. And he can teach us so gently. He didn't have to repent, and I'm afraid it just his whole church. So we can get so hung up over so many things, can't we? And then you've got the charismatics who believe in it all, but now there is a way to get it. And if you don't get it this way, you don't got it. If there's anything that we can find to be divided on, we find it. And it seems as though there's nothing that provokes pride over those issues more than the faith. But when the Spirit of truth comes, you have a choice. You always have a choice. Always. To accept or to reject. Now, I went for a long time believing Christians could not be possessed. Now, this is another very controversial issue. Tonight is just full of controversy. We should have put it up on the marquee, right? And in my denomination, that is not acceptable. Christians cannot be possessed. If you don't believe me, you can start from the bottom all the way up to the top. And they'll all tell you the same thing. Does it matter that a Christian is manifesting? Not at all. So I'm ministering in a church that is part of that denomination. And I went to pray for this gentleman, and he down on the floor and started manifesting. Scared the living daylights out of me. I said, "What is this? What is happening to this man?" And the Lord said, "He has an evil spirit." And I said, "I don't know what to do." And he said, "I know you don't. Because you don't believe that a Christian can be possessed. And because of what you believe, you cannot help this man." I mean, tears came to my eyes because I'm a minister. We are born to help, right? So I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. That's what I've been taught. I'm so sorry. Please help this man. Deliver him. Well, the Lord was merciful, and he did deliver him. But he changed my doctrine in 2 minutes. When the Spirit of truth comes, he leads you into all truth. But he has a moment of your mind and your will for you to decide to accept or reject truth. And depending upon how you accept it or reject it, if you reject it, and you reject it deeply enough, that truth will never be given to you again. And you will be lost to it. Other things you may reject, but you're not rejecting them deep. And God knows the heart. So he will revisit you with that truth at a later time and help you understand. So there has to be this partnership. And it's a partnership that comes out of relationship. Now, if you have a fear to hearing truth from people, new truth, relationship helps abate fear of learning from God. The more relationship you have with the Holy Spirit, the more your heart is prepared. Please say prepared. The more your heart is prepared for every level of truth that he wants to give you. And I can promise you that truth is given line upon line. It's like building a brick wall, line upon line. He has to secure one line, put it in you. It has to find its place, develop its root system, establish itself in you, then the next line, line upon line, precept upon precept. He builds and prepares you for higher truth. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole full truth, if you are willing. I'm going to be very, very honest with you. Most in the church are not willing. May I tell you why? Because intuitively, you know that with every offer of every nugget of truth, there is a price to be paid. And most don't want to pay the price. There are the simple foundational truths of the faith. Those are pretty easy to receive. But there are the higher. I can remember a friend of mine. I was going to go down to a conference at a certain church. The Lord has just hardly ever allowed me to go to conferences. I don't know why. That's just the way he's dealt with me. But I just thought, this time I'm going to go. It's going to be so wonderful. God's going to bless me. He's going to let me go. He's going to let me enjoy it. Blah, 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 blah. So my friend, this pastor, said, I hear you're going so-and-so to this conference. Please don't go. And I said, why? He said, because, you know, they teach that there's another work of grace. And I said, oh, what is that other work of grace? I don't know. It's something about adult sonship. The manifested sons of God, he said. Please don't go to that conference. It's false doctrine. And I stood there and looked at him. And when I closed my mouth, I said, "You don't believe that? You don't believe that there's a place of adult sonship? You don't believe that there's a place where we are solidified in Christ, in union with Christ, in adult sonship?" He said, "That's a false doctrine." And I said, "But I teach that." "You what?" Well, I could go through some more of that particular story, but I won't. When the Spirit of Truth comes, I want to tell you something. There's nothing more precious in the entire earth than one nugget of truth from God. It is worth any price He may ask you to pay to have it. The thing that stands between you and truth can be as simple as a step. It can be a great gulf if you don't have a teachable heart. You must be willing, write this down, because this is a zinger, but it's a zinger from God. You must be willing to submit your ego to that truth. You must be willing to submit your ego to gain new insight. You must be willing to die at the foot of truth. And truth comes in the form of a cross. But you didn't know that, did you? You thought truth came in the form of this glorious light. But the light is always in the form of a cross, because it is designed to crucify you. If you're getting elevated and your ego is getting built because of your growth in truth, you're not growing the right way. Because truth is designed by its nature not to lift up your ego, but to crucify it. If you're in the world and all of your associates are worldly people, it's not a great thing to say, "I have the gift of tongues." They look at you like you're weird, and they're quite certain you really have lost it. But if you're in the church and you're in a charismatic church and you say, "I have the gift of tongues," you can just lift your head right up, you know, with a great big old smile on your face. "Yes, I have it." You don't? Oh, you poor thing. "I have it. I've had it for a while." It just depends upon where you're walking. But having the gift of tongues should have accomplished in you a certain humbling, not an upliftment of your ego. If it doesn't, then you're not submitting yourself to the truth behind the gift, which is God has a greater ownership of you through this gift. Every truth is designed to cut across your flesh, cut across your ego, Why? Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. God must crucify your flesh that your heart can inherit the kingdom of God in this life. Do you understand? So when you're praying for truth, praying that God will impart truth to you, be ready for the breaking, because it must happen. Prior to, at, or shortly after receiving the truth, there must be a breaking. There must be a humbling. If you want truth to enter in and become a tree that produces kingdom life in you, I'm giving you a great truth tonight. God wants it to pierce your heart. The truth I'm giving you is far greater than the words that I'm speaking, because it is truth that reforms you. It's truth that remakes you. It's truth, transcendent truth, that carries you into the transcendent life in Christ. It starts small and it builds up, transforming your inner man, transforming your heart. Now, there was one great man of God just even within the last 50 years. The charismatic people think, how could this man have been spiritual? But yet he wrote some of the most spiritual books the church has ever read. How could he have been spiritual unless he was baptized in the Holy Spirit? He didn't even necessarily believe that you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He just believed you need to be filled with the Spirit. That was his terminology. He walked in union with Christ. So the charismatic is going to stand back. Well, if you weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit, you weren't really spiritual. Forget that I have loved your books from the beginning. Forget that I have learned more about the life of the Spirit through your writings than any other book I've ever read. You cannot be truly spiritual if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they reject him. Would you like to know his name? A.W. Tozer. Not only was he a very spiritual man, he walked in union with Christ, and he was a prophet. We have to get truth out of the box. We have to let it be free to claim the heart any way it wants to claim your heart. Quit putting the limits on. Quit letting man dictate what is acceptable in the eyes of God. When I hear people who are sharing visions after visions, you know, so-called visitations or experiences, but they are full of pride, I stand back. It is like, it is so painful to me, because truth does not beget pride. It's like, what is wrong with this picture? You know, it doesn't have the fragrance of Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? But when you hear about the experiences and you hear about the truth, through one that has been broken by it, there is a brokenness that begets a fragrance, and the fragrance is released in the sharing of the spiritual experience or the truth that is being given. There's a way to receive truth, and there's a way not to receive truth. There's a way to learn truth, and there's a way not to learn truth. There's a way, well, there's only one way to become truth. And that is, you have to submit your ego and be broken by the hammer of truth. And that's what God is calling you to in this hour. I can promise you, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's not a horrendous thing. It is a beautiful thing. It's something you desire. It's something you need. It's something it's something you must fast for. It's something you must pray for. If you're not a person of prayer, you can recognize truth. You can even memorize it. But it does not produce in you, never can produce in you, what truth is supposed to produce. So then you just walk around with this great big head on your shoulders, you know, with all the stuff you know. But there's nothing beautiful, not in the eyes of Christ and not in the eyes of the church. Turn with me to Psalm 105. I think we're going to get through one point tonight. 105 verse 17. It said, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold as a servant. Okay, that's key one. You must become a servant of truth. Not a lord. Not a lord. But a servant. Truth turns you into a servant who is sold as a servant. His feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in chains of iron, and his soul entered into the iron. Until his word to his cruel brothers came true, until the word of the Lord tried and tested him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made Joseph lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. This is the path of obtaining truth. The Lord gives you truth. The Spirit of truth has come. And he imparts into your heart truth. And that truth is designed to do two things. Redirect your path. Redirect my path. Truth will redirect your path because it is beginning the process of recreating you. And as long as you're changing, your path must change. If you're not changing at the foot of truth, then you're missing the whole point. So it comes to redirect your path. The next thing it does is slay you. Doesn't that sound exciting? It must pierce your heart. Now, in this piercing, initially, Jesus tells us in the parable of the sower that it brings forth great joy. So that doesn't sound painful, does it? It brings forth great joy. Truth will bring forth great joy. And this is where most people stop. The truth enters, the joy is released, then they start sharing with this person, they share with that person, they share with this person, they share with, they'll share with anybody that will listen to them. But truth has never had the opportunity to do its effectual work. So the truth really isn't theirs. It is head knowledge only. And what does the Bible tell us will happen to such a one? When the truth falls on the rocks, what happens? You're getting it. What happens? You lose it. The enemy comes and he snatches it. That doesn't mean you don't have the memory of it. You have the memory, but you haven't been recreated in that truth. Your soul has not been changed. Everyone's heard about the truth now through you, but your soul has not been changed by the truth. He sent a man before him, even Joseph, who was sold as a servant. You haven't learned how to be the slave of truth. You haven't learned how to be the servant of truth. What happened to Christ? The Bible says that he came from above and he took upon himself what? The form of a man, but then a servant. After servanthood came what? He went to the lowest parts of the earth. He died. And when he went through that process, resurrected again, and the Lord made all things subservient to him and to that name. It is an image. It is a teaching. It is a parable of what must happen to us when we learn truth. The glory enters. We're taken into the glory of what? Truth. Then we come down and we become a servant of that truth. How long it takes, only God knows. And it all depends upon the gravity of the truth that we are learning. If it's a small truth, the lessons aren't so great. But if it's a great truth, you're going to go through some things. The suffering here that Joseph went through was immense. His feet, they hurt with fetters. He was laid in chains of iron. His soul entered into the iron. Where is that in the Genesis account? It sounds like, you know, he was sold to Potiphar, then he ended up in prison. The prison ward loved him, so he was elevated once again to a place of high authority. Joseph had it great. Every time the enemy tried to trip him up, he was put in a place of authority and rulership. That's what it sounds like. God speaking to him. You have to come all the way over here to Psalm 105 to find out the suffering that he endured for the truth that was given to him. What tested and tried him? Was it the devil? Read the Bible. What does it say? The Word tested and tried him. But when he stood the test, what happened? He was lifted up to rule and reign. The ego must fall to the feet of truth if you want truth to recreate your inner man, which is why it is given. Every truth, large or small, is given for the purpose of recreating you in Christ. Your ego must submit to this truth. Be broken by it. Be healed by it. Until it has become so much a part of you that you can rule and reign by it. And all this must happen in conjunction with prayer. Because prayer is what makes the seedbed of your heart fertile. Prayer and repentance. If you are reading the Bible, studying the Bible, learning the Bible only through your intellect, you will never learn the deep truths of God. It's not possible. The deep truths come only through prayer, fasting, and dying. I had a friend in the ministry that thought that he needed to teach the whole church about union with Christ, although the only thing he knew about it is what he had read. He knew nothing about how to get there. He knew nothing of what it really meant to enter into union with Christ. He'd read about it, sounded good to him. He wanted it. So as a minister, he wanted to teach everybody about it, writing articles about it. One day the angel of the Lord came to him and said to him, "Quit teaching what you do not live." Even though it was an angel of the Lord standing at the foot of his bed, he didn't want to have to give up teaching about this subject. So he refused the instruction. We always have a place and a time, a moment, to accept or reject the truth. Now let me tell you something. God gives truth line upon line, precept upon precept. If that is true, if he's giving you this truth and you reject it, what happens to the truths up here? What happens? They're lost. Forever. Humility, brokenness is what we want. Dying is what we need. If we die, if we allow God to do this work of humility so that we may obtain the higher truths. When you have a prayer life, it tenderizes your heart to God. If it's a proper prayer life, you know, I mean, even that can get perverted, but assuming that the intent of your prayer life is to know Christ and to be an intercessor that touches his heart, it will prepare your heart for truth. It will make your heart very tender so that you're easily broken by truth. And what does the Bible say? The Lord said, "And this is the one to whom I will have regard." And then blah, 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 blah. And then it says, "And who trembles at my word." That's what God wants to bring us to, is to a place where we tremble at his word. I tremble at his word. I do. He puts his truth in my heart, and my whole being goes into a trembling that can last hours. I physically tremble at his truth, because his truth is holy. You don't take it lightly, ever. His truth is wonderful. It satisfies the palate like nothing else can. It is sweet as honey, isn't it, to the taste? Highly prized, much desired. And when it begins to burrow down and let a root system begin to develop, to claim the ground, Let it happen. Nurture it. Pray over it. Weep over, oh boy. Charles Finney, in the beginning of his ministry, he was a young attorney. He wasn't really even officially a minister yet. But he would gather his friend, and they would go together in his room, and they would both together weep and wail and travail, pleading with God to open his word to him. He got saved, but he was part of the Presbyterian movement. And the teachings were very dry. They were, for that day, orthodox. But they didn't have life. And many of the rich truths that Finney lived in and died in, they did not teach, they did not believe. So as soon as the Lord began to open up the simplest light to Finney, it immediately beget persecution. That's how dark it was in his day. But where is Finney? He's back at the room, on the bed, weeping and crying and wailing and pleading, fasting and praying, open up your truth to me. I read that when I wasn't but a very, very young infant in the Lord. And I said, he was a great man. If that's how he did it, that's how I'll do it. And that's how I've done it. The revelations that recreate your soul do not come easily. It's not what you get in this pulpit that is going to recreate you deep in your inner man. It is what the Spirit of Truth is able to do. Whether you're hearing it here or alone in your room. Can he break that hard heart so that the seed can go in and take root and form a tree and begin to develop the Christ nature in you? Are you willing to go through the persecution for the truth you say you own? Or at what point in time did you decide it wasn't worth it? That's why Jesus taught the parable of the sowers, to warn us, always be willing to suffer the price. Always be willing to pay the price for the truth. Persecution will come. Difficulties will come. The enemy will hit. He will hit, I promise you. But at what point will you decide, I don't want to live with the suffering to have the truth? I can remember years ago the Lord coming to me, Jesus Christ standing beside my bed. And he said, I have something for you. And I said, Lord, what is it? He said, before I give it to you, will you take it? I said, yes, Lord. Will you? Why do you ask? Because then I knew I was in trouble. Why do you ask? He said, because this gift will bring much persecution. I recoiled. And he just stood there patiently waiting to see what I would do. I look into his eyes. He waits. You know, and the Lord can, I've never seen anyone that can do a blank face like the Lord. It's not like he's trying to encourage you. It's not like he's disappointed. I mean, he's waiting. What will you do? And I said, Lord, I'll accept the persecution by your grace. And immediately the gift was imparted. There is a price to pay for the things that are of value. But God gives the grace to the willing heart. Beyond the grace is relationship, which you need to embrace what you must embrace to receive the truth. That's why the Hebrews writer, let's go back there. We talked about this last night. For you did sympathize and suffer along with those who were imprisoned, and you bore cheerfully the plundering of your belongings and the confiscation of your property in the knowledge and in the consciousness that you yourselves had a better and lasting possession. Do not, therefore, fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God. What is the will of God? How is it revealed to you? The seed of truth. And thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. For still a little while, a very little while, and the coming one will come, and he will not delay. But the just shall live by faith. Are you listening to me? There was a day you were willing to pay the price, and then trials came, troubles came, and you backed off. And God is saying, take off the brakes. This is the day of the higher revelation. And you must be willing to pay the price for the revelation to do what I have designed for it to do in your precious heart. You will be a carrier of my glory to the point that you have allowed my glory to consume who you are. Run with a vision. Don't hide from it. Don't stand in fear of what it might cost you. I'll tell you a story about me, give you a small exhortation, and then we're going to close. Years ago, I'd gone on a very long fast. I had to leave the ministry for a while because it really took a toll on my health. But God had spoken to me. Even an angel of the Lord came to me and told me, dare not break this fast. Carry it through to the end. While I'm recuperating, one night the Lord awakens me and pierces my heart with truth. I mean piercing it like he'd put a needle into my heart. He pierced my heart with truth. And what was the truth? That there was a pain in my heart that was causing me to want to recoil from the pulpit ministry. The reason I wanted to recoil is because from my earliest days of being saved, I don't know if it's because of the prayer life that I went into early on. I don't know why. All I know is that from the earliest days of my salvation, I have always had a lot of revelation. He's always given me large amounts of revelation. But I spend a lot of time in prayer, and I spend a lot of time in the Word to obtain that revelation. So, but with all this revelation, because so much of it was bringing new stuff to the body of Christ, not necessarily new not necessarily new, but new for this hour. Correcting doctrine. Many of the things corrected bad doctrine. And of course, when you're going into the church and you're correcting bad doctrine, they don't like that. And so they would uprise, you know, against the teaching. I can remember one time, this was way back in, you know, in the 80s, when back then you didn't hear people talk about righteousness, holiness stuff. Everything was, you are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. So you never heard teaching on holiness. It just didn't happen. And I'm going into the church teaching on holiness. And so I can remember in this one church, the pastor got up after I delivered my message and shared a visitation that I'd had about this issue of holiness. The pastor got up and he said, I want to refute everything she said about holiness. He said that to his whole church. And I'm sitting there going, whoa, I didn't know they did this in the church. So, you know, that's not a new truth, right? That's an eternal truth. Yes. I mean, the scriptures are very plentiful. So he's showing me this hurt in my heart. And then he lets me feel his heart. And his heart is broken because I'm reluctant. And he said, when are you going to quit fearing the persecution you come under for the truth I give you? And I said, Lord, I just started crying. I cried for days. I told him how sorry I was. But at the same time, the fear was very real. And at the end of the thing, I had to tell him, you just have got to do a work of grace to strengthen me. But the one thing you do not ever want to do is retreat. Now, you see, I'm in the pulpit. I didn't run away. And the higher the truths are that he gives me, there are those who can't accept it. But I have to be willing to go through whatever I have to go through for the truth that he gives me. Why? Because there are those in the body of Christ who want the truth more than they want to breathe. And for the sake of those, he must have people who will stand in the fray to give the church what it needs. I just saw a vision. Every person that is emboldened in these higher truths becomes in itself a pillar in the house of God. God is reaching out to those who will pay the price for the truth. He's looking. His eyes are going to and fro across the whole world looking for those who will pay the price for the truth. And he's placing them in the tabernacles, the sanctuaries, the churches. He's placing them. They may not hear the higher truths in the places he's put them, but they're there as a pillar. They are there with the presence of God upon their life to be a pillar in that place, because they have learned to suffer for righteousness' sake. He can use them to stabilize his church. Embrace the truth. And embrace whatever it means to have it. Be changed by it. Be strengthened by it. Be edified. Be built up in Christ by it until you are transformed by it. And let God use you as the pillar where you've been placed. Now think about that. There's a wind coming. I just saw another vision. There are those who have paid a great price. Oh, dear Jesus. They've paid a great price for truths that God has given them. And they have been buffeted by the enemy. They have been buffeted by the church until it feels like they can hardly stand for the truth they've been given. But I saw in the vision a wind sent from God across the body of Christ. And that wind was not for the whole church. That wind was for the weary pillars. I saw the wind coming across the body of Christ, moving through these pillars placed all over the earth. And when the wind touched the pillar, the golden glory of God shot into the pillar, strengthened the pillar, began to shoot forth from the pillar. And the truths that they were standing for became stalwart inside of them. God is going to do it. No man can do what I saw. God is going to do it. God is going to do it. He's a great God, isn't he? Isn't he wonderful? I want you to come up. I want you to let me lay hands on you tonight. I'm going to have you take communion. Then I need you to go back to your seat because I need to talk to you. Okay? What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray that God is going to begin the process of stabilizing you, opening you, preparing you for truth. Let's pray for the women first. If the men will please act as catchers, then we'll pray for the men next.